In thinking about this sermon and this title, Ripples Moving Outward, the reason I came up with this title is that I was struck in this passage by three particular words. And I'm going to ask you, as I read this passage, to keep track of each of these three words. The three words are knowing, sending, and acting. Now, with acting, they don't use the word acting quite like that, but it's when there's an action related to the particular statement that I'm talking about. I'm going to read through the passage, verses 1 through 17, and so highlight the different forms of the word knowing, the different forms of sending, the different ways of acting. Now, before the festival, this is reading from John 13, 1 through 17. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to him into his hands, and that he had come from the Father and was going to God, come from God and going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer cloak, wrapped it around him, and came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he washed their feet, he put on his robe and had reclined again. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who has sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Okay, I'm hoping you've taken good note. Did anybody hear forms of the word know? K-N-O-W, not N-O. Almost the first sentence. Well, no, it's the first sentence. Jesus knew that his hour had come. So what else was known? Who was going to betray him? And, you know, so there he says, the devil already decided. So the devil knew, you know, and Jesus knew. During the supper, knowing, what did Jesus know? Yeah, he knew that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God. So this is either sending, you know, God sent him, or God, it's an action, Jesus came from God. And he was going to God. So Jesus knew that the Father had given all things, and he knew that God had sent him, and he was going back to him. He got up from supper, took off his robe, and tied the towel around himself. And then it goes on the discourse with Peter. And Jesus says, you do not know what I'm doing. So again, there are multiple topics going on about which people know or do not know. Thus, in the confession and also in the call to worship, there was reference to knowing and not knowing. It goes on and says, Peter acts as if he knows. He will never wash my feet. Jesus says, if I don't, you have no share with me. And so on and so forth. Then we get one more knowing, I think, here. Jesus is clarifying. He says, you do not know what I have done to you. Or do you not know what I have done to you? So Jesus has to explain to them what he has done in washing their feet. So they go from this position of refusal, symbolized by Peter's reaction. They go from refusal to let Jesus act in this way to them being told, unless you do this, unless you allow this, you have no part with me. And then finally, that Jesus tells them, this is how you also must act. Okay? So let's do the second word, sending. What are the different bits of sending? This is really where I decided to say ripples, because it starts with the first stone in the water, right? It's a tranquil pond. And what's the first stone that gets dropped in the water? Yeah, Jesus's first statement of himself knowing. He knew what God had done, and the ripples go out. So Jesus is going to go, has come from the Father, will go back to the Father. But then, where does the sending go from there? What's the next sending language? So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's an initial sending, right? It's a change of their relationship together. You are to be what? What are they supposed to be? What's he saying? Jesus is saying, as I have served you, you must serve each other. Right? So there, what's happening? Maybe this is too much of a stretch, but what I see is you've got God here at the beginning, and God sends Jesus. And then you've got Jesus with the disciples, and he says, I have modeled this servanthood. I've modeled this. And now what I'm saying to you is that you must do the same with each other. Right? So in a sense, Jesus is at the center of this little rippling droplet, right? And then what happens is that he's saying, you've seen me act in this way, now you must also move forward this way, right? So it's again, a rippling outward of what Jesus has done to show them what they must also do. So it doesn't directly use sending language, but it does in a sense become a form of sending. Where else? Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I've set an example. Very truly, I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. So it's again that relationship of sending and who's acting, who's sending, who's receiving, so on and so forth. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So you've gone from this position at the beginning of knowledge being with God, with the devil, with Jesus, to the end where if you know, then you will be blessed. So there are multiple instances of knowing and not knowing and a movement where the disciples come from a position of not knowing to a position of knowledge. There's a movement in the sending it from it being God to Jesus to the disciples doing it with each other. So the disciples are even sent to minister within their community, but then it has them go beyond that. So sending ripples outward. And acting also is back and forth. What are the different movements in action? Any thoughts on that? So Jesus initiates the action, but there was action in God sending Jesus. And so there's movement there. Then Jesus is at the table. He, understanding what God has sent him for, he acts, right? And then there's this action back and forth with Peter, and Peter understanding that, no, hold it. I should be doing this for you. That demonstrates the proper relationship here. Jesus says, no, I'm coming to you as a servant. You know, when's the next time Jesus is going to surprise them like this? What happens Palm Sunday? What happens Palm Sunday? Jesus comes riding a black or white stallion, right? With armor on. No, he comes with a donkey. He comes with the symbol of servanthood. And it's such a symbol that it's actually looked down upon, much the same way that washing of feet might be. Has anybody ever, you know, when are the times that we need somebody to wash our feet? Not very often. I almost wore slippers today. But the reason I have some nasty, well, no, I don't want to say it like that. So I far too easily purchase things online. And sometimes they're a great hit. I got shoes. First day I wore them 2 years ago, Van says, you got new shoes. And I said, dang straight. You know, yeah, they're good shoes. I love them. And it was the first time I wore them, and they never messed up my heel or anything. They took no breaking in. They're called Gatsby's, and they were fantastic, fit me greatly. So 2 years later, I buy two more pairs of shoes of a different thing. And I wore the first pair, and they were just felt way too tight. I wore them again a few days later, and it tore up my heel. No, I guess I wore the second pair. Anyway, both of them tore, but I ended up with nasty blisters on both feet. So I didn't feel like I wanted to wear sandals today because I didn't want my heel rubbing at all. And anyway, but then I didn't know if Van just looking at my shoes, I didn't want her to be saying, what are you doing? Anyway, the point of it is this, that the only time I've lived in a place where I really felt I wished that there would be somebody there to clean my feet was in Benin, and then later in Burkina Faso, or earlier in Burkina Faso, then later in Benin. In Burkina Faso, the dust, especially at this time of year, the harmattan, the winds are shifting. And seriously, a table like that or a table like this, you have to wipe it multiple times in the day, because even inside with the windows closed, the dust is so thick. And the same thing's true with your feet. You wear sandals. If you wear sandals, you get there and you can see it's like suntan lines on your feet, because there's so much dust on your feet. And just even a little bit of water, you know, with Islam, desert place, right? You know, the washing of hands, washing of feet before prayer, that's the normal practice. Well, you understand that better when you're in a very dusty place, you know. So this act of washing feet, and Jesus saying, I've come into this place and no one washed my feet, yet this woman is crying and wiping my feet, cleaning my feet with her tears. So washing of feet was something that was typical. In our culture, it's not typical. We're slowly coming to washing hands or sharing, you know, with communion recently, we've shared the disinfectant bottle. But that's really similar to what this practice of washing feet was, that it was something that was extremely common, and there were people that was their job to clean people's feet. And so when Jesus comes into that and takes that role, Peter's reaction is normal enough, because it's only the lowly who are hired for this purpose that do this. And now Jesus is doing it to them. Okay. So as I've been thinking about what's going on in this passage, and as I've been thinking about the statement, you don't know, and the statement or the notion that it's God is sending Jesus, Jesus is sending the disciples, and it's a ministry of servanthood, it's a posturing of servanthood, it's made me think, okay, you know, how do we, one of the things that we do very well as a congregation is fellowship. You know, that was one of the things that was determined in our survey a couple years ago. We do it well. We take time for each other. Very rarely, even if I've had a terribly long sermon, very rarely do you rush off immediately after the service ends. You know, it's super rare. Why? Because it seems to me that we value quality relationships. And we value being able to have time to catch up with each other, to give support to each other, to encourage each other. We value that. That's a strong value for us. As I've thought about this sermon, as I've thought about our annual meeting and so forth, and the things that need to be done still in this building, in this space, it makes me wonder, okay, what does this notion of serving, how, if we applied the notion of serving to the community and asked of ourselves, what would be the use, the best use of this space as far as service to the community be? Any thoughts on that? What might be the best use? Feeding, so making a thrive outpost, or actual making meals, or both. So feeding might be something else. What else? We're making space available for the Seventh Day, SDA congregation. That pancake breakfast. Yeah, exactly. We could do that since we thrive on quality relationships. Why not invite more people into that quality? You know, why not be more active in hospitality, even just with a small circle? You know, invite people into it. You know, there are all kinds of different theories about church growth. But for me, I look to group dynamics. And how do you develop, nurture a group? How do you work with people so that people feel about a part of a team and working on a common task together? Okay. So one of the things, and you know, support groups do this very well. Emotions Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, and those, the different iterations there. And what do they do? When the meeting starts, if you're, it's Emotions Anonymous, you start by saying, I have X problem. If it's Alcoholics, I have, you can say it however you want it, you know? But you start with that common identification that levels the group. And then the second thing is, if you've been there a few weeks or so, you will be asked, could you serve coffee next week? So you're recognized as being the same first, and then very soon you're given a task, a responsibility. So it moves from just me sneaking in and sneaking out to me being contributing to the team, to the event of our gathering. And then it moves on from there to, you know, after you've been there for a little while, you experience a sense of fellowship, of community. So for me, I take that model as how do we, if we think about this congregation, and if we think about how might this congregation grow, it's not going to grow through the old tent revivals. We've got more churches here than we need. But what struck me in the last couple months here is we've had two visitors. Last week there was a visitor who drove by here a number of times. She was just new from Boston area. And she apparently moved to Williamsburg this past week. But she saw the church and she, for whatever reason, decided to come on a Sunday just to see what it's like. She didn't tell me what her church background was or what she was, other purposes. But the point is, she took the initiative. But the thing is, she can come and she can go, and that's fine. But really, if we want people to be a part, become a part of this, we, one, have to value them, recognize and value them. And many people I saw speaking with her, I don't know if you remember her name, or I didn't get her last name. It was Megan, I think, was her first name, Megan. And I know many people spoke with her, but, and so there was, we did well with acknowledging her and including her. She stayed for the lunch, and then she left sometime during the after. But the thing is, it's as we are in, you know, if you think about this thing, this place, how can this become a place where a space where people can feel free to come and visit, but Sunday is not, can't really be the only time. There has to be other opportunities because there are a lot of people that they're not ready to come to church as a church service, but there would be other ways to get them here if we're doing other things. If we're having, like I know that Manna Church there on their signboard, they talk about, they have recovery groups or whatever there. Katie Fannin mentioned a third space, having perhaps that room over there. Chris has talked about some different things. So the point is, how do we think about service we could do within the community, respond to whatever those needs might be? How can we do that and make use of this space to be of service within the community? I don't know. I'm just extrapolating from the passage. So anyway, I think we need to share what we do best. And that's the beginning point. And what we do best is develop lasting relationships. And so how can we serve this community with that as one of our capacities and gifts that we have to offer? Still not 3 points, but I did at least have three things I identified in the passage. So we'll call it progress. Let's pray. Lord God of grace, mercy, and love, we are grateful for the many ways that you have gifted us and given us this space in this community. And we pray, Lord, that your love might radiate from this space to those around us, that we can be a welcoming and invitational space, that we can meet people in their place of need, that we can walk with you in ways that invite people to faithfulness. Help us to follow and serve as you have served. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.